Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
All right, so we may have power outages, we don't know, given weather stuff, so we're going to try and sneak in this recording. Welcome to Beyond Monogamy. I'm Janet.
And I'm Roger.
And I'm Barbie.
And we have the guest.
Joining us again is Steve.
Hi there, how are you guys?
The reason Steve's being brought in is for all you all, if this is your first episode, welcome, welcome. You may want to do some catch up because we're in the middle of a discussion on some stuff. But there is a podcast that's called Girls Talk, in which Barbie and Janet, me, got together and we had a discussion about some of the things that we don't like that guys do. And so then we've allowed a little bit of a rebuttal with Roger. And then at the same time, it was very clear to us that we probably needed to get one more man in here for discussion. So Steve is joining us today. He has listened to the Girls Talk episode and Roger's rebuttal. And so now we want to add to the discussion. So I don't know where you guys want to start. I promised that I wouldn't talk too much. So I will really try not to talk. You know that I'm a rule breaker, though. So you know that I'm probably going to talk in the middle of this somewhere.
I'd like to start by following up with yours and Barbie's girl talk. Okay. You know, for the guys, and you talk about the your thighs and everything, and hit the right spot, this and that. You know, the good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, guys. You know, listen to the lady and her signals. It's very simple. You know, read verbal and visual cues, you know, when you were down there. So I think that's an important thing to follow up on. Oh, and by the way, my nipples are not sensitive. Just FYI for anybody out there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I said I wasn't going to talk, but Mandingo told me yesterday that his nipples used to not be sensitive. However, in this last year, just in this last year of his life, okay, and he's close to my age, someone reached up and licked his nipple and bam. So wow. There may be hope for you. Okay, I'll shut up now.
I mean, so we cover all corners here. My nipples, I wouldn't say they're sensitive or just like but I mean if somebody goes to be pinching on them, it just distracts me, and the distraction makes it annoying. Like okay, where is that? That's so far from what's going on here. But anyway,
well, I'm with you.
Coming into the other side of the perspective, I pulled some friends throughout the week that I would credit with lifestyle experience and would offer a good perspective on the other side. What about the women and what they do? Nobody's perfect. So I mean, I'll throw these responses out there and then we can just we can just go around the table and chew them up. If you've got anything to add or weigh in, say so. So, so covering the other side of the perspective, I pulled several friends to for their input on what women do that annoy them, and we'll go. I'll just throw them out there. We'll go around the table. And Steve, if you've got something to weigh in, throw it out there. Okay.
Sure. So
friend number one here, the question was, what is it that women in the lifestyle do that annoys you or turns you off? So not knowing how to kiss, especially constantly sticking their tongue in my mouth like it's a dog bowl. Tongue is fine and enjoyable, but not every time you kiss, and not right out of the gate on the first kiss. Also, this is so much fun. Also, super aggressive prior to engaging. I love a confident woman who will tell me what they want, but there's a big difference for me hearing a woman say, "You're going to fuck me right now," rather than, "I want you to fuck me right now." And then there was a follow-up. Also, super drunk, not sexy. We'll probably all agree on that one, yeah, man or woman, but back to that main comment. Go.
Ooh, the kissing part. Wow. I don't know.
I think you
go in the moment.
It spurs me on one of the ones that I didn't hit, which was the guys that act like I'm a freaking bird and they like have their lips wide open and then they don't do anything. I don't mean this to be point counterpoint. I don't need this to be, I'm not saying it because it just spurred to me that there's, however, along the lines of communication, I told his wife, and then she told him, and he fixed it.
There you go. But I think kissing is kind of an art anyway. I mean,
true.
I do think that in the lifestyle, and this is going to sound, not meaning to sound judgmental, but you can tell somebody's experience in the lifestyle or how much sexual activity they've had by how they can kiss. I mean, I just think that's kind of a dead ringer right there. Now, and speaking from experience, but if you've been married for 20 or 30 years and you've only kissed that person, I think it makes a big difference when you live a different lifestyle and you've gotten to experience a lot of good kissers, a lot of fair kissers, the people who won't kiss you. But then you kind of develop your own style. And then when you get feedback from all these different people, then you kind of know if you're good at it or, if people are pulling away. but I think it's kind of an art. And I do think it's a tell. I think it's a big tell. If I start kissing a man and he's kissing back and he's just no good at it, just means they haven't had a lot of experience. That's what I think. But
Steve, what do you got?
I'm one of those guys, I enjoy the seduction of playtime. Doesn't mean I want to fall in love with anybody, anything like that. I'm one of those guys, not all mean, and this is coming from my perspective, not all of us want a woman to strip down, lay down, and say, okay, do me. I like the, more the seduction part of it. And what's nice is Janet is one of those people,
And oh, I've seen it. Wait. I've seen the other side.
No, I've seen those side also.
In my defense, I'm going to play to the player. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to play to whoever it is across the way. Because there's one particular guy that he likes to hear football analogies when you're in the middle of it and stuff, and his dick gets harder when you say stuff like that fade route pass is just a thing of that shouldn't be used at all, or they need to bring the fullback back into this. You say that to him during sex.
Oh, the third down, keep going.
Or how about make my tight end a wide receiver?
Oh, wow.
I was going to say, or do you call interception and throw him off and jump on top of him?
I want some penetration. I want some penetration.
Double team me.
When you come, do you just scream touchdown?
No, because like there's some people that want to be told. They want to be told this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to do for me. And they want to be, and they let you know that. And then there's other people that are seductive, and that seductive, you know, that's that person, you know, he kisses well and some other stuff. Where Steve is really good is you start out seductive and then he gets so into the moment that he just picks you up and throws you up against the wall and does you. And it's like, oh, so that's in the middle, right? I also recall we were at a party one time where there was a great room, meaning there was two private rooms. There were lines for the private room, and there was a great room, and there was, eight or so people standing there, and nobody was playing. And so I started out with my hubby, and hubby and I started playing, and then other people came in, and I get switched to this guy, and we're doing him, and I'm doing him, and in the middle of it, he asked me his name, my name, and I tell him his name. I mean, we do the name exchange, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe you're in the middle of grocery list sex because you've asked me names. Like, who asked it in the middle of it, right? And then and then he turns to somebody, and he says, can somebody get me a beer? And I said, my legs are up in the air in the middle of it. And I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? And he said, what? And I said, I really want a beer. And I said, will it make your dick get harder? And he goes, yes. And so I go, somebody get this guy a beer. And they get him a beer and it got harder. And I was like, boom, done.
Wow.
Whatever worked, right?
I mean... What, just mid-session, mid-stroke?
Yes.
What's your name? I mean, as long as that's not followed by, oh, it's my sister's name. Yeah. I mean, you're just on the hinge of it turning weird.
My mother's name is Janet.
That was my mom's name. I miss her. All right.
Wait, let's go back to, because that's kind of my aha moment that, so maybe I have been aggressive all this time, because if I see somebody at the party and I want to play, I just go right up to them. I don't even hesitate.
You know,
I just say, let's go. You know, come on.
And you know,
well, I will kiss them. You know, I've done that too. Like, I've just walked up to the one young man that was at your gathering, and I just planted one, you know. So
he's a good friend of mine, and I know he'll hear this, and he'll know him. He's a very good friend of mine. We have the same name. But it was where I'm at. I'm at a party, you know, and when you're you're figuring out what you're going to do and where you're going to, you know, and how you're going to do it, and you're kind of thinking about it. You know, and I'm kind of forming that plan, and you know, I hope I've never seen this way, but in my mind, I'm kind of like a wolf on the prowl. I'm just on the prowl, waiting to strike. And it's so same party. If Barbie comes at me, oh no, oh you're gonna watch me just melt right into.
Well, we have. I mean, because I saw you, and I was like, let's go.
Yeah, I think, and I was like, yeah, I feel good about myself talking to Dee about it on the way home. She's like, I think you were the prey that time. And I'm like, fuck you talking about.
So was this your only, was this the only friend that you pulled, or was that a list of everybody's different things?
Oh no, that was just one. I've got a few more.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear it. Let's go.
So this is another good friend of mine. He said, I kind of copied and pasted the same question. He said, only one thing comes to mind now, and it's putting out all the signals intentionally and being a cock tease. That's mildly annoying.
Mildly. Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Do you remember Frank and Catherine?
Janet? Yes. Yes.
Well, they started up again and came to had a party. So Elle and I go, and there's this lady, and she's mauling me. We're on the balcony or a little porch deck and mauling me. I said, okay, you want to go play? She goes, yes. She goes, I have to go get a condom. Okay, cool. She goes, gets a condom. I go inside, meet her. And so we start again. I said, where's the condom? I said, I grabbed one. And she goes, no. She goes, I didn't get one. I said, why not? She goes, because they're old. I'm afraid they're going to break. I'm going, what? Okay. So she started playing again. I got rock hard again. Grabbed a condom. She goes, no. She goes, I'm going. So, yeah, it's like she just shut down completely. Petting, rubbing, fingering, caressing, all that stuff. You know, and she just shuts down. That's crazy. You know, and the one thing I found out, if you don't want to play with me, that's fine. Guess what? There are plenty of other ladies there. You know, I'm not going to be upset. You know, if you want to do is make out.
If Barbie and I are at that party, you just walk into the room and go, it's really rock hard. It's going to get wasted. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, yeah. But, yeah, yeah. But, and there again, if you don't want to, you know, if you just want to make out, that's great. That's fine. Tell me that. You know, because there are plenty of other ladies there I'll play with. I'll make out with you for a little bit. But right. Just don't leave me on, and then say, oh, well, this or that or whatever. You know,
especially so. To go so far as to say, let me get a condom. I mean, you've kind of committed.
Right. Yeah.
I got to wash my hair. I got to go use mouthwash.
It kind of leads into maybe if I just the super drunk thing that can get annoying when you just kind of can't regulate yourself. But and it's not the condom thing. I don't want to shame anybody. I personally, it's my preference not to. But if that's your preference, and I'm in it and I want to do it, the condom's not asking too much. I'll get one. What you got?
I will say, along with that, and this has happened at one of Janet's parties. There's a lady there, and several of us are still shooting live bullets. And this lady was not on anything and was still fertile and didn't bother to say a word to anybody. So it is nice, ladies, if you're out there listening, to say, hey, are you V safe? Are you shooting live ammunition? I'm this, I'm that. That's, you know, I know it can be sort of a mood breaker, but, you know, hopefully it's found out at a party. If you're at a party, hopefully it's with people you know like we do. So,
but that's... I got to step in. If you're at a party and you know that this is going to happen, that you are at a sex party, you better be protecting yourself. I don't care, you know, if you're...
Yes.
If you don't have a vasectomy, perhaps you should be wearing the condom, you know?
Yes.
And if that person, but I can't even imagine, that anybody would go to a party with that as a fear, you know? Like, oh, I just went to a party and got hosed by three people. And then, you know, look.
That's kind of a different take on thrill seeking.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Oh. You know, and there again, maybe it's, we assume that we're all knowing what's going to happen and going on. And, so I assumed that this lady was protected, you know, because so where we are.
I know a BBC that has been to our parties and he's been in the lifestyle for a long time. I know that this man has a child by another couple. It happened. I don't know if it was her responsibility or what. They chose to keep the child. They talked to him about it. They chose to keep the child. she was having a difficult time getting pregnant, and this was it. And the thing is that it was a white couple, it was BBC, so it was obviously a mixed trial. I don't know what story they told. He chose to be in the life of that child every once in a while as the child's father, because he, it was, it just happened. It wasn't, it, you know, I don't know what the circumstances are. I don't know if I don't know if the condom broke. I don't know what happened. But I know that this person stood by the kid. So it, right. It happens in the lifestyle. You're, right. If you're playing with a loaded gun.
And that's something that I've always said at parties, whether it be at Janet's or someone else's, hey, I'm shooting live rounds, guys. If you're concerned, let me know. And I'll be glad to wrap it before I tap it. Or, you know, or you can be
drawing paint.
Yeah. Or if they're on the pill or whatever, taking birth control, whatever, you know, but
it's art.
It's art. Artwork.
We wouldn't let it go to waste.
This is true. This is true.
That's the true expression. That's a true, a face painting, right?
My comment on this whole one is people, non-gender specific, they just don't communicate quite enough. And
right,
I don't mind if somebody wants a condom, but I mean, we're in a living room, in a kitchen, out at the pool, we're messing around, we're hot and heavy, we make the conscious decision, let's go to the bedroom. We go, and we're all the way back in the bedroom. And mind you, picture what I'm talking about. If we're in a pool, I'm not wearing anything, so I'm not carrying anything. We get all the way back there, then you say, do you have a condom? Well, I mean, I don't have one in my prison pocket, if that's what you mean. I'm going to have to go find one.
Oh,
in my prison pocket.
If I was a musician, I'd pull one out from behind her ear. But I mean,
Urkel did a maneuver like that one day at a party. We had a lady
who was playing with his ass.
Oh. No, but what he did is there's a lady wanted to play with a guy, and she goes, "You need a condom." He goes, "Oh well," and she goes, "Here, I have a condom." And he goes, "Oh, I prefer to use mine." So he goes, "I'll be right back." So he leaves the room, go get a condom. Urkel's standing there. He goes, "I have one." He reaches down and has his little footies.
Oh, I remember that.
Pulls one out of his little sock and says, "I'm wrapping it. Let's go tap it, baby."
Bravo. Bravo. Such a smart young man. Really.
Yes, he is.
Dude is a baller. I know he knows we do this. And if you're listening...
He is listening.
Go yes. to the link and shoot me an email. I don't have your number. I want to make contact with you. We travel. I know he travels. I know we're going to be in the same place at the same time. I'd love to link up with him. I loved him. He was fun. So,
all right. What else do you have on your list?
Yep, I've got one more. There's a different tone in this message. It just. Ignore the message. Like I said, this you ask this to guys, they're having to think about it. They probably answer a little triggered, but everybody will have something to weigh in on this one. So hit send on the question. The reply I get, leaves clothes on when you fuck. For whatever reason, ashamed of stretch marks. If we're fucking, I don't care. And I could weigh in now or in the end. What do you want?
And now a word from our sponsor. Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of six or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious, moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit BeyondMonogamyPodcast.com.
Let's get back to hearing from the guilty.
Weigh in now, because I know what Barbie's answer is, and I know what my answer is. So weigh in now.
I alluded to this, I think, in our second or third episode, and it was kind of a message to women, and there will be a different kind of spin on this, but it, kind of reiterating that is everybody's got just something they wish was a little better, something they're just kind of ashamed of. And I mean, we've been at this now almost 10 years, and I'm nowhere near the same as I was back then. And as you age in this, I didn't know back then, but you know, here kind of lately at a few, going to a few parties, it kind of gotten in my head a little, but that's everybody. Everybody's kind of got that going on. And the great thing about parties is it's just a place for no judgment. And when you're just there to throw down and enjoy somebody, you're enjoying them and taking them the way they are. And, you know, on my side, I don't care. The speed I run at hasn't seemed to change as far as the action I get. So, you know, the people I'm getting together with don't care. And so I've been with somebody much older than me, so much younger than me. And I've loved all sides of it. Small tits, big ass, no ass. I love it all. So,
okay, so, counterpoint, Barbie.
Counterpoint.
Oh, I'm going to jump right in. You know me. No, I think it is the person who's involved. Like for me, I dress for me. And I know, I mean, I was a cam model and I still never took all my clothes off ever. And that's for me. Now, am I giving you everything that I've got? Yeah. You know, am I going to just be there to show you, you know, I showed my pussy. I'm there to fuck. I got my tits out, but I had my appendix out when I was 5, and I have this giant ass scar and then I had children. So it did not do well from the 5-year-old body to the well past that body and all of life experience. So for me, I wear a corset or something like that to cover that area, because it makes me feel better about putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. And then I have the ugliest legs in the world. Ugly. I mean, if I were any more pale, I would be invisible. So my legs look like a road map, you know? So I'm going to wear thigh highs. I'm not taking those off either. You know, I'm going to have some hose on and cover that shit up. And again, that's for me, because when I see myself in the mirror, I want to be, you know, okay with what I see, so that I'm confident enough to go out there and, you know, obviously approach somebody and say, let's go, you know, have sex, and or go up and kiss them, like, you know, this guy was talking about, because, you know, I'm guilty of all of that. Everything you've mentioned, 3 out of 4. I am the poster child of that. But I also think that part of my party planning was, and Janet and I have been shopping together. I mean, part of my party planning is, what am I going to wear? What is easy to access? You know, because that to me, though, makes me feel in the moment, like I'm going to do my hair, I'm going to put on makeup, I'm going to find an outfit that's, you know, going to be fun to wear and fun to take off as much as I want to. But I'm telling you what, that belly's going to be covered. It's just going to be covered. That scar is hideous. And that is for me. That is not for the person I'm fucking. So, you know, if somebody looks at it, and it's the same thing, you know, when I, like I said, when I was a cam model, I'd have somebody say, I want to go private and I want you to take all your clothes off. And I would say, I would tell them right up front, I will not take this off. You know, I'll show you everything you want to see. I'll play with it. I'll do everything, but I'm going to cover my belly because I'm looking in that camera just like you are. And I don't want to see it. It turns me off. So it may turn you on, but I'm going to be upfront about it. It turns me off and it lowers my own confidence level. So that's my attitude on unless I can't imagine that somebody's wearing clothes like, you know, unaccessible clothes.
And her perspective is her perspective. And I've learned that. So, but then I have a different perspective and that's, so when I was growing up, I was the ugly duckling. I was, my sister was prettier than I was. The girls in the neighborhood were all prettier guys. I had a best friend that was 5'10", blonde hair, big tits, and the guys were all into her and not me. So I was the wingman that was ugly. But I learned that I had a better personality than she did. I learned when I went on dates with a guy to ask him questions about himself and make him feel really important. She would get the first dates. I would get them afterwards. And then I would get them again and again and again. Cause I also learned that it didn't matter what you look like. If you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose, you had that guy. Okay. You totally had that guy. So it did not matter what I looked like. It was what I could do, how I could make the guy feel. So for me, when I go to these parties, first thing I do is take my clothes off because they are nothing to me. And because I know what this is about is the good time. And yeah, I've had a tummy tuck. I've had a boob job. I got scars there. I've got rolls in places that I shouldn't have rolls. You know, hell, as I've gotten older, I know it, but I don't care because I know that if they know that, number one, I know how to do it in the ass and do it well and have fun.
Those girls you're talking about still don't.
Right. I know that. I know that if I know how to suck a guy's cock, that it doesn't matter what I look like. Okay. Because he's going to come back again and again and again. So what I look like to start with means absolutely nothing. Okay. Except to that one asshole who comes with the, my wife is so pretty and your husband wants to do her. And so I'm going to come to the party. And so that guy is the only guy that doesn't see me for me. All the rest of the guys at the party, they learn really quick, really fast, who is the person who's having a good time. That's Janet.
To everyone.
It's Amen. My party.
To everyone listening. Soul is not intact. Janet will just suck it out of you.
That's all I can say.
I'm sorry, Steve. Did I take the?
I just said no. I just said, oh, that's all I can say. We know so, Janet.
Yeah. So it's a different attitude, and your attitude is right. So is mine. Okay, because I completely understand why you're there and where that comes from. Now, there's a guy last year, a couple years ago, right before COVID, went to a party. He's been at a party several times in the new area where I am. None of you guys have met this guy. This dude, skinny ass dude, he wears white cowboy boots. He walks around the place naked. White cowboy boots does not white. Take off his white hey, cowboy boots.
The only and other I time just, I've seen that I was on that show Reno 911.
This was before Reno 911, but when I saw it on Reno 911, I was like, "That guy." Yeah. And I got to tell you, I have no desire to do him. None. I don't know why. I just know personally, this is not a turn on for me. Okay, this is not.
It is a white boot discrimination.
I'm discriminating against the white boots. I got to tell you, I used to discriminate against all guys with their socks on when they were doing it. But after hearing the story about Urkel, now I understand why.
I think yeah. if you would just give in and get it on with that guy with the boots, and if somebody captured a picture, I think the contrast would really, really come out. Your skin tone and complexion would be like fantastic in that picture.
Well, you guys all know I've told you the story about Barbie and me, and how when we were in Jamaica and we came out of the ocean and we were topless coming out of that ocean, and those guys were just screaming ghost, ghost, ghost.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what yes. we look like, because both of us are freaking white.
Oh yes, yes. Our season is winter.
Yes. We're winter girls.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, unfortunately. Any more pale, I'd be invisible. So
that was the replies that I got back out of the people I polled. We pretty much covered it.
Those people were polled. Okay, so Steve, what do you say about what do you not like in women?
Really, there's not a lot. I guess the one thing, and it happened at your parties a couple of times, a couple of ladies, and it's not their fault, it's not my fault. I just didn't know. And they're again, maybe not going to the party first, not asking, finding out. I talked to them. There was one party, went to your parties, about six different parties, and I finally found out the lady was never playing. I said, well, maybe she doesn't like me, doesn't want to play, whatever. Well, come to find out, she didn't play with anybody unless you ask her. I'm going, what? I mean, all these other women are running around going crazy with all the guys. Guys are going crazy, but she has done nothing. I'm going, so I'm talking to her. She goes, well, I don't do that. She goes, if you don't ask me to play, I'm not going to play. I'm going, oh. You want to play? She goes, please. Well, you know, so I didn't know that. But there again, it happened.
I guess all you had to do is say something.
Yeah, just say, or start a conversation, you know. And so I finally asked her, so why don't you, do you play? She goes, oh, yeah, play. Well, why aren't you? Well, because nobody's asked me. I'm going, okay. So, you know, and that's not that I dislike that. That's just something I found interesting. And it's helped me along the way also. You know what? You just can't assume everybody's going to be a Janet or a Barbie, you know, to say, let's go. So, or an L.
Yeah. So, well, they could have put it on the board.
Yes.
You need to ask me.
Yeah. Well,
Because like people thought I was making up the stuff, putting it on the board. And no, I don't. You walk into the party. Here is the board. You put down something that's going to help other people who want to play with you, what it is you like, don't like, or whatever. That lady should have put, I like to be asked to play.
Yeah.
I'm shy, you know, but she never put that on there. I'm not going to do it for her. Because if you don't have enough ovaries to put that up there, then you don't deserve to get fucked.
Right. You know, yeah. But like I said, there's nothing really, other than we're at a party. And when I go to a party, I have no expectations other than having a good time. Okay. That's my only expectation. When I go to a lifestyle party, I don't say, oh, here's number one, here's number two, number three. So, cause expectations are bad. But so I went with expectation one night to a party, and I asked the hostess, I said, I've never played with her. I'm going to play with her tonight. She goes, okay. Can you introduce me? And she said, what if she said, sure. I said, well, because she's a little standoffish. So we're sitting around in the second hour circle, Janet. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I hate that shit.
Oh, so, you know, first hour of the social hour, second hour, we're sitting in the circle. You know, who have you come with? Who'd you come with? What do you like? This lady says, don't touch my clit. Just like that. I'm going, what? She goes, I'm the one touching my clit. You touch my clit, you'll get hit, yada, yada, yada. I'm going, holy moly. I said, okay. So right after that, the hostess said, you want to meet her? I said, no, I'm done.
Done.
I said, I want nothing to do with her. Nothing to do with her.
I might bump the clit.
Yeah. But just the attitude, you know, was that, you know, I just, yeah. I know what it is against me. The piddlers. That's what it is. The piddlers. they go, you know, here we are. We go to these parties and all the hot ladies who are, you know, think their shit doesn't stink. Standing around, they drink all night, and they're shaking their butts, fully dressed. About midnight, they take their tops off, flash their boobs, wiggle the boobs. Oh, look at us. We're swingers. Mm-hmm. No, you're not swingers. You're piddlers. You know, you shouldn't be, you know. So
you're wannabes.
Yeah, you're wannabes. You're exactly right. That's it. So that's it. I think, you know.
It's a waste of my time.
You're right. It is. Yeah. It is.
But I've been to a lot of parties like that.
Oh, I know. Oh. I know. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'll say, you see, and we don't go to those parties anymore. If it's not a private house party, we don't go. I'm not going to these piddler parties anymore. I told Elle that. I said, sorry, you know. She goes, oh, no, I agree. So if it's not a private house party, we don't go. So.
I'd say that's about where we're at. There's some larger clubs, and we talked about trapeze a little bit, and I hope to make it there and just see what that is. But like you said, I'll be going in with no expectations on the night and just kind of hopeful of something. So I bring back a good story. I've been to parties, and it's kind of fun as you're casing the room and casing the room. And you're looking, and about the third time passed, and somebody's just still sitting there. In the similar fashion, like you were talking about, Steve, and it's just almost like, gosh, they nearly look unapproachable. I mean, they're not, you know, they're just slightly open to the room. They're not completely closed off. And I'm like, I wonder. And that's paid off. That's a very high success rate. If you just walk over, engage in some conversation, exchange some pleasantries, I'd hate for you to come all this way and not go home with a good story. Yeah. You know, that just kind of caveats just right into, here, you don't need these clothes.
or the other one I just now thought of was the Dom Sub deal at these parties.
We're at a party. You have to ask them. You have to ask their Dom.
Yep.
Oh,
we were at a party in Northtown.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady that Roger and I know, I talked to her about 15, 20 minutes, and I said, do you want to go play? She goes, well, you have to go ask so-and-so. I said, what? She goes, well, you have to go ask him. I said, I'm not doing that. Sorry. She goes, why not? I said, because I'm not going to chase him downstairs here, upstairs, go find him. And then he say yes or whatever. I said, you know, the mood's broken already. Sorry, I'm not doing it. You know?
I don't know who you're talking about. And I'm just like, you knew you were coming to a sex party. Why didn't the two of you have this conversation on the fucking way here?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so, and it brings me to a slightly darker side. So someone that's listening to this podcast had mentioned to me that they were jealous of listening to me talk about all this because of all the fun stuff that I've done. But you have to understand that I'm telling you the stories that are fun. Okay. I'm telling you the stories of the upbeat stuff. I don't think it would make a real good podcast to get into some of the bad stories, some of the pain, some of the relationship stories. But in this instance, so I know that all three of you have a partner that when you go to a party, you're responsible for yourself. They're responsible for their self. See you, have a great time. Let's go home together. That's it. Okay. Yep. But I my first partner in this lifestyle was not like that. And so his inability to socialize and hook up to other people, he blamed on me for not helping him during the party. Well, I'm just explaining to you guys that I lose total control at the party because it's my party and I'm gone and that's it. And for you to tell me that I got to come back and think about him? No. Okay. No, it's an individual thing. And then thing is, yeah, you go home with them. That's the whole deal, you know, and sometimes you have some rule that basically says, you know, but this, the first partner was not like this. And so he was, you can't do this person or you can do this person. And that was him. And that was a nasty relationship to be in, especially because we all tell each other that we don't want drama at these parties. So we never had the drama at the party. It always happened afterwards. So I would go totally lose control of myself, have a great time, and then on the way home, just get chewed up the whole time.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Right. So I'm just, I want the listeners to know that, yeah, it is this, we have great times. It's a good time, but it's something that you have to rely upon your partner and the trust in your partner that you're going to go do your thing. They're going to do their thing. You're not responsible for picking up chicks or picking up guys for them. And they're not responsible for picking up chicks for you. And that's how it is. And then at the end of the party, you go home with them and it's great.
And I do think that is kind of the pinnacle of a fantastic relationship. And I know that sounds odd, but I think that having that ability to go to a party, separate completely, have a good time. Oh my God. And your spouse or your partner is having a good time. Then you go home together and, or on the drive home, whatever, you relive it. Right. And then maybe even, you know, in the heat of the moment, the next time that you're playing with your spouse, you relive it again and you say, oh man, that was so hot, you know, and it's just, it's to have that kind of relationship with no jealousy. And I think that's really why I say it's the pinnacle, because I think so many relationships are so fearful that if I opened the door and started having sex with, you know, if my spouse did with someone else, they're going to want someone else. And, that's a real legitimate feeling. But once you get past that, or you have a partner that you don't feel that way with, I mean, it's just so liberating. It's just, it's trust on a level that is just beyond anything any marriage therapist could have ever told you about. You know, how could you ever say that having sex with, you know, other people has increased our relationship dramatically, our ability to communicate dramatically, you know, because if you can talk about this stuff, you can talk about anything, you know? So,
of course,
you know, it's a hard one.
It is, you know, and that's like with Al and me, and the best example of that, Barbie, for me is we were all at Janet's party. Imagine that. And room down, whatever. So we're home debriefing each other, talking about what this and that. And so I said, oh, well, I did this. Or did you see that? She goes, well, when that happened? So she goes, where? So Al says, where was I? I said, you're upstairs fucking so-and-so. Oh, okay. So I tell another story. You should have seen this and that. She goes, well, where was I? I didn't see that. Where was I? I said, you in the other bedroom getting fucked by two guys, you know? So, and this is the greatest thing. So the one time, so we get done and she goes, oh, she said something. I asked her a question. She goes, well, I said, she goes, I was in the kitchen over a bar stool. She goes, I was sucking one and getting fucked by another guy. And I said, you do what? And she thought I was mad. She goes, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to do it. I said, oh, no, hell, I wish you'd told me so I could come watch it. You know, and that's what the debriefs are about, you know. Like you said, it's just so liberating, and it is a pinnacle. We're able to laugh and have a good time and debrief about it afterwards. You know, but it's just so funny. She goes, well, where was I? Well, guess where you were? Yeah. Well, I didn't hear about that. Where was I for that one? Looking for your sweet tea. That's where she was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But really, to have a relationship, like this is it's a powerful thing. It is,
and I'll say, I mean, this is relationship number three, but it's gone longer than the first two, and I preach this, but I have it, and it's what works is, you know, it has to be safe to say this is what we did, and damn, it was good. It has to be safe. And for me, you know, even something as dumb and little as coming, I went to fill up a propane tank at Tractor Supply, and I came home and told her this exact story. I'm waiting for, they said Thomas will be around back to help, and I'm waiting on Thomas, and this girl walks up, and she's younger girl, and I could hardly see her face, but I wasn't looking real hard at her face. She had these just nice, firm, thick thighs and this just round, juicy Texas style ass and these just firm little tits. And when I did see her face, you know, she did kind of have that country hayseed smile, big old gap between her teeth, but it wasn't a disqualifier. And I'm just sitting there, she's like, here, follow me. And I'm just like, fuck, I'll follow you for miles. Just stay right in front of me and keep walking. I mean, why aren't you in front of me on the treadmill at the gym, for fuck's sake? But I come home and tell that story, and I'm just like, you know, God help her if she shows up at a party. Just I will lay into that like never before. That'll be the hill I die on. It's safe.
The midget will be the hell.
What? Where?
Right. All I'm saying is, if you listen to what you said the last time, that you don't put stuff up on a pedestal. What if you do her it turns out that she just lays there and is grocery list sex and just kisses horrible and just doesn't move at all and is a terrible fuck?
It's happened. Happened. And on the ride home, you hear, that's why I have that damn rule.
That I just broke again.
Oh, Roger, by the way, write this down. Little Ladies of L.A.
Yeah, that's the name of it. Little Ladies of L.A.
I listened to the podcast the other day. So I know what they're talking about. Little Ladies of L.A. My favorite show.
They provide services?
No,
they were acting like strippers. The episode I saw, they were learning to strip. They were pole dancing, learning to strip. Yes. And okay. All I could think about was Steve and Roger.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a show like Beverly Housewives of Beverly Hills is what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is one a for little off of a... Housewives of exactly Hollywood right. or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a good point for us to end with.
Yeah, on that note.
Join us next episode where we all review Little Ladies of L.A. And play an age-old game called Who Would You Do?
Oh, there you go.
I like it. Whatever you got to put in that spank bank to make it work.
Oh, that's so good.
Hey, can I give a quick PSA?
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever said this or told anybody, but this is for the ladies who are maybe new the lifestyle, and this happened at a party that we had. Ladies, if something's not going right with a guy, it's not you. You know, there's so much going on depending upon how many times we played, what's, you know, the atmosphere is like. You know, we had a lady at a party and she was so upset because the guy couldn't get it up. She thought it was her. It's not you, typically. It's whatever's going on, you know,
right?
Performance anxiety or whatever. So I just want them to know that it's not, you know, it's not you. It's so don't feel bad if it doesn't happen.
Hey, like so we most, said earlier, if he's time. Into football, just say flag on the play.
And if he needs a beer, go get him a damn beer.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
I swear that guy drank that beer and his dick got a lot harder. I was like, all right, I'm not going to argue with this ever again.
What a hell of a beer commercial. There's an endorsement.
Totally would have been. So speaking of commercials, I got to end this with, if you have a topic you want us to talk about, if you have a comment as one of the flies on the wall, and you don't really want to join the podcast, but you just want to ask us a question, the place to find us is beyondmonogamypodcast.com. It's all smashed together, beyondmonogamypodcast.com. You'll find a way to contact Roger, or you'll find a way to contact me. Eventually, we'll get Barbie's name up there. Please, if you're there and you got a couple bucks, tip the producer. He takes PayPal, Venmo, I think, whatever. Because Mandigo does this for free, and he does a very good job, because our audios are yankee sometimes, and we're all at different places, and we all have different power issues and some other things going on. But I really appreciate all the flies that are joining us on the wall, and especially a couple of you sexy ones. I know that you're out there. I know I'll shout out to Lola and Urkel. Although I've seen pictures of Urkel, we're going to have to change his name because he doesn't look like Urkel anymore. He's gotten really hot. I think I'm just going to call him Boo. So my Boo is there as one of the flies. Please pass this on to your friends on the down low, and hopefully we'll get more flies on the wall and keep this podcast rolling. And I'm really glad for all of you guys joining us. And that's a wrap. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to say the line, which is, we want you to come again and come again and come again.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. And we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.